please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, our talented, brilliant editorial team is publishing positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered to your inbox, online, and through our social channels. Now, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, share it on social media, spread it to friends, post it on your LinkedIn media-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, June 5th, 2020. How you doing today, Christy?
I'm good. I think we were talking over each other there, but I'm well, and I am upright and breathing. So all are positives.
Yes. I like your rose-colored glasses on the whole upright and breathing thing. Good job. We have some great stories to share, but we're going to have a little conversation. Christy and I had a long leadership meeting this morning for the Optimist Daily, so we're late to getting this recorded. It might be a little bit late in getting posted, but we wanted to have a real conversation about what we are doing at the Optimist Daily to increase inclusion and Black voices in our content. And a lot of publications are struggling with this. A lot of organizations are struggling because the economic retraction is preventing increased hiring. We don't suddenly have more budget to pay more people. But what we are going to do at the Optimist Daily is work really hard to identify voices, writers, journalists, and thought leaders who are in the Black community that our writers should be following and should engage with. It's our commitment to you guys, and not just our commitment because we want to be topical or relevant, but because we really want to be part of affecting change. Christy, you have a friend that you're working with this weekend for an upcoming View article. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'll be interviewing Keila Shirelles, who I've known for decades, but he grew up in Watts. He was part of the team that brokered the peace between the Bloods and the Crips in 1994. He's a peace warrior, he describes himself. He's a social entrepreneur, and he's currently living in New Jersey, in Newark, working on restorative justice programs. And he's a really interesting and very inspirational guy who's had a lot of personal struggle and misfortune, but he's also done amazing things with his life. And I wanted to spotlight him for our Optimist View. So we're going to be talking on Sunday. And I think it's just really important for us to open our own personal windows to learning from and reading more diverse voices, even within the media. One of the things that I find interesting is that we're blind to things we don't even realize we're blind to. That's how privilege works. We all get in our small bubbles and we don't know that we're being exclusionary because it doesn't occur to us to think about another lived experience. And our lived experiences are really what grounds us in the world. Our relationships ground us to each other. But if we don't have relationships with other ideas, then you don't even know you're missing anything. My husband was telling me an interesting story because he grew up in Mexico, very, very poor. And he was talking about how his mother would sometimes have women from the church who came in, and they were the wealthier, whiter women. I don't know if they were from Mexico or from America. I actually don't know. He was raised Mormon, but there would be people from the Mormon church who would come to her home and try to give her advice on how to feed her children. You know, they shouldn't be drinking Coca-Cola. They shouldn't be, you know, drinking these horrible sugary things, right? You should give them healthy, good, clean food. She would have them in her home. They'd be well-meaning. But as soon as they would leave, his mother would erupt with rage. Who do they think they are to tell me how to feed my children? And I feel like that's the unintended consequence sometimes of the miscommunication between different people in this world who come from different backgrounds, even well-meaning. We really need to open up our ears and our hearts to other lived experiences and listen to what's coming from neighborhoods that I have no way of having a deep understanding because I don't have that lived experience.
A friend of mine on social who runs an organization in Los Angeles called Digital LA, he said, I know I have tons of friends who support Black Lives Matter and who are against racial injustice, but what's everyone doing? I only see a few of you posting pictures from protests. What are the rest of you guys doing? And I responded just in a fully heartfelt, honest way. As a nursing mother of a 10-month-old baby, I'm still scared about COVID. I do not feel comfortable participating in group events at this time. And so I am a little paralyzed personally, and I'm also privileged that I can just sit in my home. But he really put us to task and said, okay, well, if you're not going to go participate in a protest, what are you going to do? And I think that question that we have to ask ourselves as a community and as a society, regardless of fear, what are we going to do? And I would ask of our listeners and our readers at the Optimist Daily, tell us what you are going to do and give us ideas on what others can do. You're so right, Christy, that we don't even know what we don't see when we're in our little bubbles. I ask everyone to help us get out of our bubbles. Tell us how to.
I mean, we're not going to go into this story today talking about it, but our lead story today, the headline is Action Not Tweets, 5 Ways That Corporate America Can Combat Racism. I think it's really important for us all to think about what are the real, tangible, actionable steps that we are willing to take in our own lives, in our own companies, in our own communities to be not just not racist, I'm putting that in air quotes, but actually anti-racist. And how do we really move the needle in a substantial way away from systemic racism, away from the blindness which infects most of us in terms of the inequalities and the injustices which are perpetrated every single day, unthinkingly, unknowingly, and unobserved among people from different backgrounds? And how do we really be true to our stated values of equality for all and, you know, freedom and justice?
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for continuing this conversation, both through our social channels and with Christy and I here on the pod. We really appreciate it. We will not be leaving this subject behind, but we do have some other headlines on the Optimist Daily today that we'd love to talk to you guys about. Christy, what is your favorite headline from the Optimist Daily today? Or not favorite, but which one do you want to touch on?
The one I wanted to spotlight was the article on the University of California saying pencils down to SAT and ACT tests. And this is from the education section on the Optimist Daily. And I think this actually, it talks a little bit to the moment in terms of how do we really achieve a society that has equality built into it in terms of education and in terms of people having equal opportunity. Because one of the things about standardized tests is that they are supposed to be a leveling of the playing field so that anybody who tests highly in those tests can have a leg up in terms of college admission. But the University of California is responding to countless studies that show if you're wealthy and you can afford the preparation classes, which I know I took advantage of when I was applying to graduate school, and it made a huge difference in my ability to pass the GRE and do it well. And it helped my application to get into graduate school. You know, it makes a huge difference. And so these standardized tests are not blind. Research has shown that 12% of Hispanics and 9% of African Americans scored a 1200 or higher on the SAT compared to 45% of whites and 55% of Asian Americans. And that's not because of innate intelligence. That's because of experience and exposure and training.
This taps into exactly what we were talking about either yesterday or the day before about when you were recruiting for candidates into your company. If you were just looking to check a series of boxes, the qualifications that are required, if we continue to set the same qualifications and the same required metrics of validation, we're going to just continue to have an insular workforce and an insular education system. And this has to change.
So anyway, the reason I highlighted this is I think it's an important step forward. How we actually weight people and how we make our admissions policies more equitable is still something that's being worked out. But the UC system is moving forward with this. And I think this is an important thing. So they've now voted unanimously to phase out the ACT and SAT scores by the fall of 2025 in terms of their admission criteria. And they're going to be looking at other things, which I think is good. I mean, full disclosure, I did not go to high school. I am a high school dropout officially. I did sort of more independent study, and then I took the proficiency exam, and then I went to community college, and then I went to university. So I never took the SATs.
Okay.
But then yeah. I did actually take the GRE when I went to graduate school. And I come from a very privileged background, I have to say, even though I'm not from a wealthy family. I'm white, I'm middle class, I'm California. Being in the world, I know that we have it really, really easy compared to many places in the world and compared to many cultures in our own society.
I will second that as far as how easy we have it. You know, I did a very traditional education experience. I did take the SAT. I knocked it out of the park, and then I took it again and knocked it out of the park again. A big part of that was because I had really aggressive test prep. And mm-hmm. I've always been a good standardized tester. You know, I had that aptitude when I was young. And so my parents were able to afford to push that for me. That continued to play well in giving me my opportunity and privilege when I applied also to graduate school, because I took the GMAT. And once again, those years of test prep from basically the age of 12 on had me ready. And my career and my course of life has largely benefited from the SAT and the various test prep through the years. So it's something that we have to acknowledge our fortune to be able to do well on those, but that did not necessarily mean I was particularly smarter or better than any other student who didn't have that prep.
The other thing that I think this is interesting, the reason I wanted to bring this up, is that the entire system of higher education is one that is in the process of transformation, and I still Absolutely. Don't know how it's going to turn out. So I just think this is an interesting story to continue to follow. I wanted to highlight it. And the University of California system is massive and very influential in the entire field of higher education. So as California goes, they say, so goes the nation. We'll see how this affects the standardized testing community in general, yeah. which has a lot of lobbying power. So, you know, this is a corporate interest just like others. So we'll see how this goes.
You know what? It's these big organizations that can make a huge change and that can have a greater impact. And so that's actually a perfect transition to the article that I want to talk about today, which is the headline, A Look into IKEA's Quest to Become Fully Circular by 2030. So from the environment section of the Optimist Daily, we learned that last year, IKEA began testing a furniture rental program in some markets. It began taking old furniture back from customers, refurbishing sofas, and reselling them instead of having them end up in landfills. That's just one aspect of the company's plan to become fully circular. Fully circular means that everything it makes is designed for reuse, repair, or recycling. The furniture industry is a huge generator of waste, and obviously because of the scale and size of furniture, it has a substantial impact on landfills and our other waste management systems. There have been some rise in isolated spots of new business models for furniture, like Feather, which rents home furnishings, you know, as more of a startup, but IKEA has partnered with the Ellen MacArthur Foundation to figure out how to become a fully circular business by 2030. I know that we try to always buy our furniture off of Nextdoor or Letgo or Facebook Marketplace. I try really hard to buy secondhand furniture. And even so much as that Brennan's high chair, which is IKEA, we bought secondhand. But you can't always buy secondhand furniture, and certainly things like sofas, oftentimes people don't feel comfortable buying secondhand furniture. So when a company like IKEA makes this distinction that the goal for their corporation is to become circular, so goes IKEA, so goes the rest of the industry, I suppose.
Yeah. Right. No, it's really important, and it's important for large companies who are committed to sustainability and creating a healthier planet to really put their money where their mouth is. I'm thinking of Interface, which is a big carpet company that was founded in the 70s. And they came up with the idea of carpet tiles. And a big part of that was because the founder of that company, Ray C. Anderson, was committed to a sustainable environmental company. And one of the things he noticed at that time was that so much of the landfill was taken up by old carpets. But what he noticed was when you have a carpet in a corporate workplace, it's mostly the center of the carpet where everybody's walking all the time that gets worn out more quickly. But why not come up with tiles so you can just replace the middle of that carpet, the walkway, and then you don't have to throw the entire carpet away, right? And that was his interesting innovation. And he's since gone on through really bold leadership within that company to make it a zero emissions company. They use solar and wind resources to do their generation of electricity. University. So that's another really wonderful company that I want to just
What's call. The name of the company again?
Interface.
Interface. Okay.
Interface. Great. And they focus on carpet for industrial and commercial installations more than they're not residential. So most of us don't even think about them because mm-hmm. they're more business to business, but they have a lot of thought leadership. And I just want to call them out because I know that Ray Anderson was somebody that was a member of the World Business Academy. And he had that kind of mentality looking to the future and how do we make this world a better place? And he brought that into his company.
Speaking of the World Business Academy, we do have the first in our thought leader series today on the Optimist Daily from World Business Academy founder Rinaldo Brutico. This one is Thought Leader Series, Why Good Leaders Make Us Feel Safe. You can read the extract as well as the full-length article on today's solutions on the Optimist Daily. What else do we have today?
Other good articles. We have an article on how cities are finally removing Confederate monuments following these protests. And I think this is important because the Confederacy is still a really awful period of American life. And we really have to take full stock of that. And if we really want to have an anti-racist country, we do need to at least recontextualize Confederate monuments. So I'm glad to see that. Ferguson, Missouri elects the first African-American and first female mayor. And this is really interesting because Ferguson, Missouri, that was what sparked the protests back in 2014 mm-hmm. and sparked the Black Lives Matter movement when Michael Brown was shot by police. So that's interesting to see that she's now the leader of that city. New Zealand's having another headline. They're making free sanitary products available to all schools. And I think that's great in terms of gender equality and just acknowledging that women's bodies bleed.
Let's see. So there's a COVID-19 lockdown. Cleaner air in the UK relieves asthma symptoms for millions. A novel material that could make digital screens bend and heal themselves. Those with broken screens will appreciate that. Scientists use sea snail venom to make new, faster, and safer type of insulin. That and several other articles are available on the Optimist Daily today. It's Friday, so we will not be recording for 2 days, and I'm going to miss you guys. I'm going to miss talking to you in the mornings, but we will be back on Monday for our next version of the Optimist Daily update. If you guys are listening on different podcast apps, please make sure to rate us and subscribe and forward to folks. The more people we have listening, the better. Our goal is 1,000 listeners a morning, so help us get there.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to the Optimist Daily update. As always, we promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information you need most to chart new paths for all of us.
If you like the Optimist Daily update, if you like the Optimist Daily, and if you are committed to creating a better world, become an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. $5 a month supports reader-funded independent journalism. You can be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.